Hello there, it's Dave here, the Ghost of Christmas Present, speaking to you in the year 2023, which is, of course, the present. I would like to introduce you to the Ghosts of Christmas Past, Dave and Kathy of December 22nd, 2018, a very innocent time it was in which they watched the Muppet Christmas Carol one year and spoke about it at length. So please do enjoy this retro cinemile classic, and I will now pass you over to myself.
Ho, 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 hello. It's Dave here, and I'm with my wife, Kathy, and I wish you could see the look that she's giving me right now.
Hello, Dave.
Hi.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you too.
Thank you.
Kathy.
So this is the podcast where we walk home from the movies, but tonight, instead of walking home from the movies, we're sitting on our sofa to watch a Muppet Christmas Carol, and we're walking as far as the kitchen for a mince pie, drink a bit of wine, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's our annual Christmas episode. So we are going to watch a Muppet Christmas Carol, which are...
The Muppet Christmas Carol.
Not Muppet.
It's the definitive one.
The Muppet Christmas Carol, as voted for by our lovely listeners through a Twitter poll we ran. So thank you.
At the Cinemile.
And neither of us have seen this movie in at least a decade, so we're quite intrigued.
Used to watch it a lot as a kid. Never owned the VHS, did you?
No, this wasn't in my repertoire as a kid at all.
The VHS is what gets on rota a lot usually as a kid.
Yeah.
We didn't even have a taped off the telly version of this.
Yeah, I didn't have it at all.
If it was on, it was on.
But I like this movie, but haven't seen it in a long time. And I, truth be told, didn't want it to win the poll. I wanted the Santa Claus to win because I'm really interested in rewatching that and seeing if it holds up at all.
I voted for Die Hard.
Yeah, wouldn't have minded Die Hard either. But
so really, we're doing a real service to you people. We're not watching either of the movies we want to watch.
But we're giving it what
we're
the
doing
people
this
want
for you.
Yeah,
the 30 whoever percent of you.
So I'm excited. I mean, I love this. Will be our first festive movie of the season, so I'm really excited to sit down and watch it and just have a nice evening.
Go on, let's crack in.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bah, humbug. He was the greediest man alive.
It's Ebenezer Scrooge.
Until the night he met someone extraordinary.
Hello.
The Muppet Christmas Carol.
I'll drink to Mr. Scrooge, even though he is odious, stingy, and badly dressed.
Humbug.
Oh, there goes Mr. Humbug. There goes Mr. Grimm.
Do you think it's safe for us to be up here?
They gave a prize for being
me.
The winner would be him.
Yes, Mr. Cratchit.
If you please, Mr. Scrooge. The bookkeeping staff would like to have an extra shovel full of coal for the fire.
Our assets are frozen.
How would the bookkeepers like to be suddenly
unemployed?
Heat wave.
Oi!
This is my island in disappointment.
It's Charles Dickens' classic tale. As only the Muppets can tell it.
It's good to be heckling again.
It's good to be doing anything again.
Filled with holiday warmth.
Hey, 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 light the lamp, not the rat, light the lamp, not the rat.
And Christmas spirit.
Jacob Marley.
Right, hi, hello.
We're back.
We're back.
And it feels like Christmas. So yeah, that was fun.
That was fun.
Mince pies were eaten.
It turns out I don't really remember that. Or it turns out, you know, I hadn't seen it in so long that it was only sort of all coming back to me as I was watching it.
Yes, exact same.
Yeah.
Like you remember, like I remember key bits of it, but I didn't really remember it. And at the start I was a bit like, oh yeah, you know, this is fine. But then by the end it got me and...
It's good.
It's really good.
It's really good.
Holds up, yeah.
It's a really... It's a really faithful adaptation, isn't it, of A Christmas Carol? Like, it's like, to be fair, I haven't read the book.
I was just going to say, I don't know, I haven't read the book.
No, but as in, you can just tell it's play. All right, so it's not really played for laughs. That's what really kind of surprised me, is that it's very straightened down the line. Like, Michael Caine is basically performing it as a serious piece of work.
Yeah, Michael Caine isn't playing it for laughs, but like, the Muppets are playing.
Yeah, but that actually
was
a really good decision, actually, because it's they're telling this story, and it feels relatively faithful. The fact that they included Charles Dickens as a character who's telling the story. And certainly a lot of the dialogue has got to be straight out of the books.
Oh yeah, and I think, like, I was watching it thinking, I would love to have seen the original pitch for this. Like, right, we're going to do the Christmas Carol, but with Muppets and with Michael Caine. And it's just, that shouldn't work for me, really, when I think about it. And then I watch a movie like this and it completely works. And I think it's just a real fine balance. And what I love about this is just, it's just so sweet and earnest. And it is funny because like it's quite meta. Like, they're referencing the fact that the narrator is Charles Dickens, but that he's being played by one of the Muppets. And while we're seeing this whole, and as we were watching it, we were saying, you know, so, it's just such a good story, Christmas Carol. You know, the past, present and future. And while we were watching all that and we're really riveted by it and we're like crying, we were both crying at one point. Still at that, you're laughing because the Muppets are doing silly stuff in the background. And that's really difficult thing to pull off.
It is a perfect blend because they tell the story very faithfully.
Yeah.
And then you kind of, really the comedy comes from, well, largely from Rizzo the Rat, as part of the sort of meta narration duo of him and Gonzo.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get occasional glimpses, like Miss Piggy is obviously hilarious.
I mean, Miss Piggy always is the best.
She's hilarious.
But like, even at the start when the credits roll up and it's like Bob Cratchit is played by Kermit the Frog, as if Kermit the Frog's a real person. Like,
that's
so clever. Like, just those little touches.
But it's funny, but it's also clever. I mean, Gonzo says the word omniscient, like he's an omniscient narrator, which, like, I never understood as a child, but like, looking back, like, that's quite a very, well, interesting and relevant word to use.
It is, and it's such a lovely movie to show a kid because, you know, it's funny and silly and there's a lovely message to it, and there are, like, you know, greater literary themes going on, and it's like one of the most famous books of all time, so it's an incredible
movie. Great story.
And at the end they say, go and read the book if you like the movie, which is so nice. It's just a lovely message. But yeah, into specifics,
all right, so full spoilers here for A Muppet Christmas
Carol.
Full
spoilers. If you don't know the story of A Muppet Christmas Carol, you may know the story of Christmas Carol. Yeah, I'm sure you've heard this one. But, you know, spoilers. So I love the whole setup from the start. And I always remember the Marley and Marley song.
That's the only one I could recall
off the top of my head.
But then as soon as they come on, all the songs, I was like, oh, I do know
Christmas.
This. But I would not have been able to tell it from the off. But then the second the Marley Brothers showed up, you and me just both turned to each other and went, I'm Marley, Marley.
Ooh. Yeah, that's really good.
In retrospect, it's one of the weakest songs.
It's really weak. They got Marley song. And Marley and then, ooh. They can't think of anything else to do.
So why is that the one stuck in our head?
But the setup is so sweet, you know, in the office of, like, Kermit's kind of the gang leader, because he's always like the one, you know, he's like the one who'd be standing up for workers' rights, and he's saying, we need to get Christmas Day off, and like, we need more coal, we're so cold, and Scrooge is awful, and he won't donate money to charity, and he's awful to everyone. And Michael Caine's just perfection in this role. Like, he's just so curmudgeon-y and, like, brilliant.
He's good. Yeah. Like, this is a really, really good performance. Like, Michael Caine is we all know he's a great actor. We don't need to talk about that. But he's, like, giving it his all. I actually found, while I was doing my Wikipedia research, I found a great quote from him, which goes like this.
Is it properly credited or is it a fake Wikipedia quote?
No, yeah, I checked. It's from, come on, this day and age, we can trust Wikipedia. It's very well monitored. This is from it was an interview by him at the time during production. He said, I'm going to play this movie like I'm working with the Royal Shakespeare Company. I will never wink. I will never do anything Muppety. I am going to play Scrooge as if it is an utterly dramatic role and there are no puppets around me.
Well, that's why it works. Because if he was winking and Muppety, it wouldn't work.
But also exactly the fact that Kermit, I mean, Kermit's largely a straight man anyway, but he brings a complete sincereness and sweetness that Bob Cratchit needs to sell that. And then, of course, Tiny Tim is just devastating.
Dave, you digress. The moment, we need to go to the Ghost of Christmas.
We'll do this chronologically.
Chronologically, right. From the Ghost of Christmas Past, who is played by a terrifying girl from a horror movie.
Oh my God, she is the stuff of night. Yeah, she's a nightmare show.
We need to put a picture
of
her.
I do. I remember.
We need to put a picture of her up on our social feeds, because I think most people mightn't. I certainly didn't, and I basically screamed when she came on stage.
No, I realised.
I mean, on screen.
As soon as she showed up, I really, like, all the memories came flooded back to me as if I'd sort of regressed them or buried them deep down within me because I'd been so horrified as a child by this floating nightmare doll child. It's
like a Chucky doll or something.
It's absolutely terrifying. And they've done something to her face where it kind of looks like they might have transplanted a child's face onto it, like a moving child's face recorded onto the doll.
Because obviously the CG is not the best, given it's 1992.
But her voice and everything, it's absolutely terrifying. Why wasn't Scrooge terrified of her instead of the ghost of yet to come, who's not that scary, really? It was just a big old pile of shit.
From Scrooge's point of view, he couldn't see how badly CG'd she was because he wasn't acting to anything.
Well, he literally wasn't noticing the
puppets
around him.
Yeah, he wasn't looking at anything.
Yeah.
This is pretty standard stuff, the ghost of Christmas past. I mean, it's kind of funny to picture that a young Scrooge spent every Christmas in the classroom working.
Yeah.
It's like, surely... like, for no other reason than, like, school's probably closed on Christmas Day and he probably couldn't have been there, so it didn't quite make sense. But they just showed that from a really young age he was basically just weirdly, overly industrious and curmudgeon-y. But what they don't explore, and again, this is a kid's movie and I haven't read the book, so what they don't explore in this movie is, but what made him like that? Like, it's pretty strange that a 5-year-old boy would be like that. And I guess I would have liked to see more depth to his past. Maybe we'd seen his family situation or his parents or something, instead of just, oh yeah, he's always been like this. And that's the story.
It's very light on detail,
yeah,
this movie, to be fair. It feels like...
But again, it's a kid's movie.
It's short
movie. Yeah.
And it kind of...
I mean, they're not going to go into like maybe, you know, potential like deprivation or abuse Scrooge suffered as a child, I guess. Though actually that might have been an interesting way to inform the character. Again, I don't know if it's in the book or not. But I guess the bit that touched me most out of The Ghost of Christmas Past, because it was like pretty light, is the bit where he's actually engaged and she's... I didn't remember this at all. And she's saying, but when are we going to get married? And he says, oh, you know, we need another year because finances aren't where I want them to be. And she's like, but you said that last year. And he says, well, I love you. And she's like, I don't think so. I think you loved me. And she just walks off. And you see Michael Caine, like, heart breaking as he watches this exchange. And that's really sad.
Yeah, he sold that. But that moment didn't really land for me, I'll be honest, because they don't spend any time establishing that relationship.
Oh, no, it's all about him.
Like, we only met her, like, 30 seconds before at Fozzie Bear's party.
Well, it's that exact thing where a woman is only used to tell a man's story, and that's exactly what this is.
Yeah, whereas you compare this to, and I'm going to compare this to Scrooged, which is my personal favourite telling of A Christmas Carol. And that relationship with Bill Murray and I forget the actress's name, who from Raiders of the Lost Ark, who is like integral to the whole thing, and they built the movie off the back of that. That's the spine of the whole thing.
The spine of this movie is Tiny Tim.
Yeah, to be fair. But
she was just servicing his plot. But at the same time, that of all the past stuff, that was the only really meaningful one. The rest is just, oh, it's a Christmas party where he's complaining about the cost of Christmas. Oh, it's a school day and he's like, you know, he's going to school when he should be.
It's all very surface level.
Really surface level stuff. And then when we get to the... So that was that when we were in the Christmas past stuff was when I was going, oh, I wish we weren't watching... Like, I wasn't saying I wish we weren't watching this, but I was like, I kind of wish we were doing a different movie.
Can I very quickly before we move on?
Yeah.
There's a brilliant Sam the Eagle playing his headmaster, though, is superb. He's one of the best Muppets.
You know the Muppets better than I do. Like, I'm surprised you know all their names because I don't.
Well, I grew up with them. Kermit, I watched the reruns of the show.
Yeah, I never did.
He's telling him about being that he's going to be going into business and he's got an apprenticeship and. And he says, it's a great living. It's good to be industrious. It is the American way.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And then you get that moment of like, it's so kind of cheesy, but Gonzo comes up behind him and kind of whispers it. It's like, it is the British way.
That was really funny, though. That made us laugh out loud. And then we get to Ghost of Christmas Present. I have to say, this is technically the Ghost of Christmas Future because it's 1 a.m. in Scrooge's bedchambers. And yet they're looking at least 8, 9 a.m.
So it's the ghost of imminent... It's a ghost of a few hours from now.
The ghost of Christmas tomorrow. So...
No, but it's not tomorrow. If it's 1 a.m, then it's today.
Fine.
So it's the ghost of Christmas 8 hours from now. And if he's the ghost of Christmas today, And that's the present.
No, because he's the ghost of Christmas right now. He even says to him, I can only live in the moment. So I call absolute bullshit on that one.
Yeah, but it'd be pretty boring if he was like taking visits of people's homes at 1 a.m. and they're all asleep.
He could have looked into like, you know, people's bedroom windows. Nothing creepy about that.
So he's basically the ghost of Christmas voyeurism.
And he's like, literally they go out in the street and everyone's singing, It Feels Like Christmas.
That's the best song.
And then he goes, isn't it? Great. And suddenly Scrooge is a convert to Christmas.
Oh, I wanted to talk about this as well. So
Scrooge is like, as if he's never seen people singing Christmas carols before.
But like, yeah.
This ghost didn't show him anything.
It's too much of a 180 for the character. And he just starts, suddenly halfway through, he sees some mice and he's suddenly smiling.
Yeah, it's too soon.
And then he starts doing this amazing dad dancing.
He wasn't dancing at the stage.
Oh yeah, all right. I'm going to remind me to post a gif of this on our Twitter, because Michael Caine does some superb dad dancing.
And at the end, not at the middle.
No, in this song.
Oh.
At one point, you know, because he's a convert to Christmas halfway through the song, because people are singing, and he's doing this sort of, this is a podcast, so you're not going to see what I'm doing, but I'm doing it right now. What do you think?
I think he looks like he's flying. Right. Anyway, so then he goes into his nephew's house. The great nephew's being pretty mean about him, which I thought was surprising, because the nephew is the one who invited him to come over Christmas Day. The nephew in Scrooged is nicer than the nephew in Muppet's Christmas Carol.
Well, it's weird because he's so nice at the beginning when we meet him.
Yeah, it just seemed a bit odd.
But then he's like talking about him behind his back.
Yeah, he's slagging him off in a game of charades, so that's a really mean thing to do. And then we get to Kermit and Piggy's, and this is just the best. Like, as soon as Piggy shows up, like, she's just the standout always. And we were just saying how sweet it is that whenever Kermit and Piggy have kids, the girls are always Piggy, the boys are always Kermit.
It's so simplistic.
They're just like so sweet, and like Piggy and the two girls are just so funny. And even Piggy, like, I just love that, like, if she was an actress, Miss Piggy, I love that she has refused to actually look poor for this scene. Like, she's like full makeup, hair done, which is exactly Miss Piggy would never go for that.
There are some moments in this that, like, were one we laughed out loud at. This is quite a funny movie.
Yeah, really good, I think. And then Tiny Tim, as soon as you see him. And then you even think, Tiny Tim's become, like, Tiny Tim has become a bit of a, you know, Tiny cliche. Tim is a bit of a cliche. And then the scene when...
Well, it's total saccharine. It's emotionally so manipulative, but it's
so
just
manipulative.
Works.
Like, the bit where Scrooge is watching them and they all start singing, Bless Us All. Sorry, I've got a sore throat, but they all start singing, Bless Us All. And then at the end, you know, Scrooge starts going, but what's to become of Tiny Tim? What's to become of Tiny Tim? And he keeps his eye on Tiny Tim for the longest. And, like, obviously foreshadowing to us that something's going to happen to Tiny Tim. But I felt really anxious in that scene. Like, I thought, I just really felt that scene. And well, I mean, the family are ridiculous because they're all literally sitting around singing Bless Us All. And the narrator says, like, they're having the best day of the year. And I'm like, very quickly they went from, you know, they're supposedly a really poor family. And, like, very quickly they went from eating the goose or whatever to, like, just all singing. I'm like, are you not going to eat your meal?
What are you talking about? It's a musical.
No, I know, but, like, they just suddenly...
You wanted a 20-minute dinner scene before the musical.
I just thought it was a bit
abrupt. They're like, oh, pass the salt, please.
But it's a funny one, and I meant to say this,
about?
Actually, earlier.
You're a mental head.
It's a musical, but it's not an outright musical, because
there's not a lot of music in it. What, like, is there, like, three numbers?
When you compare it to, look, just off the top of my head, like, what a movie I saw this year, like Mamma Mia, you know, where there's just consistent songs, this has like quite long periods without music for a 90-minute musical.
Yeah.
And some of the songs are a bit weak. Like, I think this Bless It All song was weak, and like we said, we couldn't remember the music.
It's sweet though.
Yeah, but it's not cat. Like, we couldn't remember the music.
No.
Like, I already have just watched it. I can barely remember it.
And the music I looked up was, the songs were written by Paul Williams, is the guy named, who did a lot of the Muppet songs, and he's done a lot of work with pop artists. But he wrote Rainbow Connection from
Rainbow
the Muppet movie, which is the best Muppet song of all time.
Rainbow Connection is lovely.
It's just a lovely song. I love that song.
But anyway, on to the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come. Did not know that was the ghost's name. Thought it was Ghost of Christmas Future.
Yeah, I think we all did.
Yeah.
And
it's not really the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come. It's a Dementor from Harry Potter.
Yeah.
This is literally what it is. And it's really funny because
it's
at that
Harry
point...
Potter, though, so are you calling out Rowling for a for some old-fashioned plagiarism.
No, because, I mean, it's a pretty, like, generic image of, like, death or foreboding.
Cut to J.K. Rowling, 1992. Front row. Muppets Christmas Carol, premiere.
Yeah.
With a notepad.
Why is she at the premiere?
She's just written out, she's just underlined, Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come.
But I love the way Gonzo and Rizzo, our narrators, go, oh, we're leaving. We don't want to sit through this. Which I thought was like quite good, because like it's going to be really sad.
And plus, then, I love the running gag of them by the by looking in at windows and then somebody opens the window and they get flung away.
And then they like go through like what could only be described as some sort of vortex or portal. Much darker than the other ones.
You gotta have a vortex.
Yeah. And then straight into it, Scrooge hears, you know, all the villagers, I guess, rejoicing in his death. And then he overhears the dark side of it when people have, like, taken the bedsheets off his bed to sell and they're still warm. And he says, I'm going to be haunted by that terrible conversation forever. Which, actually, I thought you would be. People are rejoicing in your death. And he's very, I mean, he's very clueless, Scrooge. Because he's like, who's that poor misfortunate they're talking about? It's like, you? Who else do you possibly think they're talking about?
And then, I think he's in denial.
I think you shouldn't eat while we're podcasting.
No, sorry. Well, you were talking for so long, I thought I could get away with it.
But then he goes, take me to Bob Cratchit's house so I can see something. And this is like, I mean, honestly, talk about... This is when I realised I was just bawling crying, and I looked over and Dave's bawling crying too. And we're both like, but we know Tiny Tim lives. Why are we crying so much? Because Kermit's just describing where he's buried Tiny Tim and how he's like overlooking
the ducks.
Of the ducks. Oh, because he always loved the ducks.
I mean, for fuck's
God.
Sake. But you know what as well? It's very cleverly done because it perfectly mirrors what we saw of in The Ghost of Christmas Present and their Christmas Day. In that the same events happen just through a darker lens.
Yeah.
So Bob Cratchit coming home from work, and they say he's been walking a little slower.
Oh God, yeah, that got me.
There's so many great lines in it. And the girls still go yell daddy and run over to him, but that's a bit more muted. Like it's really beautifully done. And then that final shot on the hat and the crutches.
Oh,
why would they keep the hat and the crutches?
Well, I guess
for fuck's sake.
Yeah, but Dave, it's implied that Tiny Tim died a few days ago. They're not going to throw all his stuff away.
Yes, but like,
what do you think they do? So start a bonfire with his things? I mean, come on.
Yeah, but
he hasn't
come
even
on.
Been buried yet.
Yeah, but like
he's picking out the tombstone as we speak.
But they've got it. Like, they've got it front and centre by the fire.
Of course you would. That's a completely normal thing that they would have done.
All right.
I mean, obviously, also the filmmaker wanted to manipulate us. But I didn't cry at that, but I was just crying at the ducks bit. And then, like, obviously, like, Scrooge is in complete distress. But again, I don't quite know why he's in so much distress. Because at the start of the movie, he's so horrible. And again, has he never seen an ill child before? Like, what about this child?
All right, I will.
In one
okay.
scene, has made Scrooge's entire personality.
All
change.
Right, I will. I completely agree with you. I mean, the movie doesn't have a lot of time to establish this complete turnaround for this character, so you do just kind of have to take a leap of faith on it. But to be fair, looking at your own past in the flesh would butter basically melt you, like, and it would make you very regretful and nostalgic. So already, I would say, he as a character is primed.
He's vulnerable
to be and vulnerable to be.
He's also tired. It's 1 a.m.
He's knackered. So I think when he sees the heartwarming scene, it makes him realize what he's missing and what he doesn't have. And then that endears him to Tiny Tim, and then seeing Tiny Tim, and it's great because the Ghost of Christmas Present echoes his own words back to him from the beginning, which is just one less mouth to feed or something like that. It's just great. I mean,
he's confronted with how horrible he is.
Yeah, so I kind of believe it. It's a little bit quick, but you know what? Michael Caine sells it. Anytime he's outside, like, all Michael Caine is doing is he's outside a window, or he's standing in their living room and they can't see him, and he's looking at Tiny Tim, and they're not even in the same shot, but we're just getting Michael Caine's face, and there's almost always like a tear on the corner of his eye. And it's just beautifully done. I don't think enough people credit Michael Caine's performance in this movie. It's certainly not the kind of... It's not what you call to mind when people talk about great Michael Caine performances, is it?
Well, honestly, as an actor, Michael Caine this is one of the movies I would very firstly think of him in.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Firstly think of him.
That doesn't make any sense. This would spring to mind, actually, for me as a Michael Caine movie, probably before anything else.
Really?
Yeah.
This?
Yeah, I don't think it's
not an
actor.
The Italian Job or Get Carter. Or...
His movies, I haven't really seen very many of them. I really haven't. I'd say there's a whole audience who know him from this movie, who don't know him from anything else, and I include myself in that.
But you don't know him from anything else?
I mean, I know who Michael Caine is, obviously, aside from these movies, but... nothing really springs to mind, really. I'm struggling to think of any movies. And I know he's in, like, Alfie and stuff, but I haven't...
Alfie and Alfred.
But I can't think of those movies. Whereas this movie, it's just, like, a very synonymous performance with him.
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels? Come on. There's so many you'd pick before Muppets Christmas Carol.
No, you can't tell me what I would pick. I've just told you I would pick...
You told me what you would very firstly...
I told you what I would pick. Go off and you tell me what you can pick.
All right, I'll go off and
do that. But
then
it's hilarious because then we get to the Ghost of Christmas... No, we get back to Christmas Day, a.k.a. the Ghost of Tomorrow. And he wakes up and immediately there's joyous music, right? So he's happy to be alive. And then every shop is open.
Well, maybe things were a bit... Oh, yeah.
Every shop is open and brimming with food.
Even though even he's closed.
Yeah.
And he's the Scrooge's
man around. At the start of the episode, at the start of the movie, Kermit says, there's no point in you being open tomorrow because no other businesses are open.
Even though every business is open. The coal, they're selling coal. They're selling geese.
And I mean, it's sweet. Like, he buys coal for the bookkeepers. You know, he buys food for everyone. He buys even cheese for the mice. But, like, suddenly, like we said, why does he have an entourage? Why is the entire village following him and singing and holding his gifts for him? He's not holding anything. All he does is at the last minute pluck a gift from one of his minions to give to whoever.
Because they've basically been infected with the joy of Christmas.
They should be in their own homes, like. And he's just singing, I hold you close with a thankful heart.
Also, he shows up... Okay, it's a total dick move what Scrooge does here. He shows up to... Bob Cratchit's house with a great intention. He bought the biggest turkey in the village or whatever, and he's going to bring it to surprise him and make a big Christmas dinner for everyone. But then he gets to the door and he's like, okay, everybody, you all hide. I'm going to do this brilliant thing on him. And he just basically punks him. He pretends to be his old horrible self. And he's like, Bob Cratchit, where were you? You're supposed to be working today. And he instills complete fear in the guy. And then, just kidding. And then invites himself, just marches into his home uninvited and says, I'm throwing you a Christmas turkey. And the whole village is here as well.
Well, he actually buys his own seat at the table because he says, I'm raising your salary and paying your mortgage. Now can I come in? It's like, well, obviously I have to invite you in. Like,
well, thank you. First of all, thank you, employer, for your kindness. But, you know, I was hoping to spend Christmas Day with my family.
Without you. I spend 364 days a year with you. And what really annoyed me about this as well is, well, A, it's just so presumptuous of him. But B, when we had witnessed the family scene earlier of that Christmas Day, they had said it was the best day of the year for them. They actually, in that moment, did not need Scrooge to come in with all that food because they had a really nice Christmas in the earlier scene we'd watched. It's so presumptuous, and it's just him swinging his wealth around. And a lot of this, as I was watching the end, it's funny because, like, look, don't get me wrong, 95% of me was singing along and loving it. But 5% of me was thinking, what is the message of this? And I know when it was written, was a very different time, but... So the message of this movie is that an old rich white man, for some reason the universe decides to help him this year and make him a better person... And how he decides to make himself feel better about all his shortcomings is to force his wealth and presence on people who aren't necessarily looking for them. And in the meantime, gather a crowd of minions to walk around holding his things for him. Like, when you actually look at it, like, it's kind of weird.
I don't agree.
Like,
with
this
you.
Whole last scene, I was like, why is he in their house?
He gives a huge donation to charity.
Yeah, but it's all to make himself feel better.
Well, no, it's because he's realized that it's the path he was on of not being generous and helping people ends with him dying alone and people reveling in his own death.
Yeah, so he wants to do it to make his life better and, like, not end up like Marley and Marley, who give him the warning at the start as well. He's not doing it to help the others.
Okay, but
and
hang
this
on.
Is where you say, like, there's
this
never
is
any
utilitarianism,
true...
isn't it?
No.
Or what's the word for...
Are you thinking of altruism?
Altruism. Yeah, sorry. You did the philosophy degree, not me.
I mean, there's an argument that you can say nothing anyone ever does is truly altruistic because there's always a benefit to you.
But he's still doing good things.
I'm not diminishing. Well, I don't think showing up uninvited at someone's house and punking them and making them terrified.
No,
and
yeah, just, I know. But
like forcing yourself on their Christmas meal.
I was joking. Like that's the situation that is presented to us for whatever reason, but just for neatness, dramatic.
And then suddenly the nephew's in there as well. It's like, fuck off. I don't want all of you people in my house.
I know, but we're being facetious here.
Oh,
like,
yeah, I'm joking.
Obviously, that's
the message of the movie.
The message of the movie is that wealth should be redistributed down with the 2%, right? That's what this is. This is for the 98%.
I mean, the message
we're going unexpectedly deep on
this.
No,
the message of the movie is honestly a lovely message, which is that you should be kind to people and you should always, you know, walk a mile in someone else's shoes, or in this instance, fly into their house uninvited and spy on them. But you should always try to think, you know, what's going on in someone's life? I don't know what their backstory is. You know, how can I help? That's a message, a very inspiring message. But the other side of it is just this rich guy swinging his money around.
I mean, fine. But do you know...
to his own end, because he doesn't want to be in a situation where when he's dead, people are like, you know, pillaging his house. And he wants to feel like he saved... Like he's having like a savior complex. He wants to save Tiny Tim. Like, why does Tiny Tim live? This is the bit I don't get. So Tiny Tim died, obviously, because of health problems, right? Now, when we saw Tiny Tim, he actually lived in a very happy family. He's well fed and his house is nice. Why does Scrooge... changing his life make Tiny Tim live?
Because he became a second father to him, is what they said.
Tiny Tim did not need Scrooge,
he needed to not die was have a second father.
Yeah, so what's wrong? Kermit's a lovely father.
I assumed they would say that Scrooge paid all his medical expenses or something.
But yeah, didn't. But anyway, we digress. Honestly, the end was lovely.
that was a really unexpected tangent.
No, I just was watching it thinking, it's just...
I would say, the story doesn't work if he's not wealthy, right? Because if it's just some poor guy who was a dick...
But wouldn't that be a nicer message, though? It's not about the money. What it is about, what's lovely, is that Scrooge decides to be kind. But what we're seeing... is someone splashing loads of cash. And that's not necessarily what anyone in this story needed. What they needed was for him to be kinder, to obviously put coal on the fire so they're not working in freezing cold conditions and like not be abusive to them.
Yeah, but he did that.
I know
he
that, but I'm saying
coal.
They didn't, nobody in this story, except for that really sad little, I think he was a rat, I'm not sure what he was, and he was actually starving and he slept her off. Nobody else saw.
There's a little boy who goes off to get the.
Yeah, that's so he needed material wealth, like he needed money and he needed a roof over his head.
Give him five shillings,
but,
man.
But Kermit and his family, from what we saw, were actually fine. What they didn't need Scrooge to come into their house and like throw this outlandish feast.
Yeah, but they were fine. But obviously, he could do with a pay bump. Let Pop Cratchit have his fucking salary increase. Will you? You're the real Scrooge of this story.
Look, I'll take my mortgage paid off by
Jesus,
someone.
Jesus, I'd hate to work for you.
I would love
you're
someone.
Like you're fine. You're doing fine.
I'd love my boss to walk in tomorrow and pay off my mortgage and double my salary. But I don't think that
would
I
would then be like, no, we're fine, actually.
No,
like,
I'd
we're
say,
doing just
thank
fine.
You. But don't feel that just because you've paid me off that you can come and spend Christmas with me and my family. Like, you know what I mean?
I'll let your boss in and she can come and have Christmas with us if she's going to pay our mortgage.
I'm a very nice boss, so it's different. But still, no. Anyway, we totally digress. I have to say, we need to rank our three Christmas podcasts now.
What?
So we've seen on the Christmas podcast... We've seen Bad Mom's Christmas. It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, yeah,
you've always seen.
So what do you want me to rank? You want me to rank It's a Wonderful Life
or The Muppets?
And Muppets
yeah.
A Christmas Carol.
Well, I'm ranking Bad Mom's Christmas
that's
first.
That's the stupidest comparison. How am I supposed to compare those
okay.
two?
Okay, Bad Mom's Christmas comes
also,
in third place for me.
Why does everything have to be ranked?
Second place. Dave, excuse me, I'm ranking
and
here.
Listings and...
Dave, I'm ranking mine.
Yeah, and I'm telling you why you shouldn't
third
rank.
Third place is Bad Mom's Christmas. Because it was one of the worst movies I'd ever seen.
Oh, what a surprise.
Albeit it was a very fun episode because I went to the cinema with the Scummy Mummies, who I'm a big fan of, and we had lots of fun. Second place is A Muppet's Christmas Carol. I'm sorry, Dave, as much as I've enjoyed eating mince pies and watching a movie with you at home, It's a Wonderful Life is my favorite Christmas episode because we'd never seen it before and we went to the cinema and it was just like, it felt like a really special day. Yeah. But yeah, so happy Christmas, everyone.
Okay, I'm genuinely opposed in general to ranking things, but that said, our best of the year top five list is coming out after this episode, so stay tuned for that.
Yeah, stay tuned.
But it's a genuinely hard thing
to
do.
But Dave, look, honestly, if you don't want to rank, it's fine. I'll invite someone else on the episode because I always do fine when you're not with me.
Ouch! Is this how I find out? Is it? Wait,
I've recorded it already.
Who's replacing me?
I've recorded it already with the mysterious guest.
It's your mom, isn't it?
No, yeah, it's my mom. No, I haven't.
She's too good.
She's too good.
Linda's my number one competition.
She is. But right, thank you, everyone, for listening. I hope you do get to watch the movie before Christmas because it is really enjoyable. And
it's a solid Christmas movie.
Yeah, it's a solid Christmas movie. And we did really enjoy that. The first song, Feels Like Christmas. We'll play that at the end. And if you are feeling in a generous mood this Christmas and have enjoyed listening to the podcast, we don't ask for money. We don't ask you to pay off our mortgage. All we ask for is that you please go on iTunes.
If somebody wants to pay our mortgage
You're very more than welcome to.
Email us thecinemile@gmail.com. Write in the subject, Ari, your mortgage. And then just,
we'll take it from
there. Whatever you can contribute. Yeah. How about we say that? We say you don't have to pay off our whole mortgage.
What I'm saying is you don't have to pay off our whole mortgage. All you have to do is go on Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. I'm not asking for money.
That's not going to put food on our table.
All I would ask for is that please go onto Apple Podcasts or iTunes or wherever you listen to us or the Acast app. And if you're an Apple Podcast, please leave us a review. All we ask is that you leave us 5 stars. All I want for Christmas, and leave us a note if you can. And then in the spirit of Christmas, the food banks in England, we do have to say, are really struggling this year because there's obviously huge economic issues in this country. And with the universal credit rollout, there's lots of people who are without money this Christmas. So really handily, what we do when we're donating is actually we go to Tesco's, because in Tesco's they have like an area where you can leave food. Doesn't even have to be food.
We're
you
not
bought
sponsored
at Tesco.
By Tesco.
We're not sponsored by anything.
Tesco.
But if you actually, often I buy the food in Aldi and then drop it to the Tesco one because Aldi's much cheaper.
They have a huge food bin by near the front door.
Yeah.
In most supermarkets should have this.
Yeah.
Tesco's
definitely do. I don't know about other supermarkets.
If they do.
Yeah.
And they will tell you, always ask what they're looking for, or it will say it on the
yeah, sometimes it's things you wouldn't
box.
Expect.
Because they often end up with loads of the same thing and it's not helpful.
But yeah, you don't even have to buy the food in Tesco. You can buy it anywhere and just bring it in. And then Tesco do something where they actually match it to a certain point, which is quite cool. But anyway, I think we're not Scrooge here. We don't go around forcing food on people. But it's a very nice thing to just, if you can do that this Christmas. Okay, firstly, go to the food bank. Secondly, leave us a review on iTunes.
And lastly, your last option. If you don't want to pay off our mortgage or do any of those things, simply open your window, ask a stranger what day it is, and give them five shillings.
£5.
Give them £5 and say, go out and buy the biggest turkey you can find and go to Dave and Kathy's house. And let's all have Christmas dinner together.
Except we're vegetarian.
How does that sound?
We
are vegetarian. Damn it. All right.
Get us the biggest nut roast you can find.
All right, come on. This is getting silly.
Okay. Merry Christmas. Right. Thanks for listening.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Bye.
And to you, a happy new year. I was talking to you, Kathy, not the people.
Oh, thanks, Dave. It's mid-December.
God bless us. Everyone.
It's in the singing of a street corner choir. It's going home and getting warm by the fire. It's true, wherever you find love, it feels like Christmas. A cup of kindness that we share with another. A sweet reunion with a friend or a brother. In all the places you find love, it feels like Christmas. It is the season of the heart, a special time of caring.